Hi, I'm Deb McIntyre, and you are listening to the Shamans Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope my podcast gives you some insight into shamanism and its ancient practices and processes. This podcast will cover elements of shamanism that you can incorporate into your everyday life. You will also be listening to other people's experiences via my podcast guests. We will talk about many topics such as primal woman, primal man, the shaman's talking stick, the shaman's roundtable discussion, as well as some more general topics that I might throw in. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, or perhaps you are listening whilst out walking or in the car. And welcome to this week's episode. Welcome to today's episode, Honouring the Masculine. Today we are joined by Brendan Spadick. Brendan is a men's mental health advocate and an intuitive well-being coach. Welcome, Brendan.
Hey, Deb. Thanks for having me on.
Very excited to have you on, yes, and discussing a topic honouring the masculine. So we're going to have an exciting chat today and be able to share some of your knowledge, some of your wisdom, and just have a overview of a discussion on this topic.
Yeah, I'm excited to delve into it because it's something that I've definitely been diving into in quite depth myself over the last 4 to 5 months in particular.
Yeah, so cool. So can you fill in our listeners as to what is an intuitive well-being coach?
Yeah, it's twofold really. So first part, I guess, from my end is using intuition to my intuition to guide where my coaching goes with a certain client. So it's not just, I guess, being a certain framework and structure that's the same for every single person, because obviously every single person is their own individual and have their own different journey and stories. So just first off, from my end, kind of guiding where I need to navigate with coaching them. And then the other aspect is actually getting them to get back to a place where they're really tapped in with their own intuition and their gut feeling, because I feel like when we can get someone back to that place, that's where they're most empowered.
Yeah, that's great. So true, so true. So let's talk about the masculine. So what does honouring the masculine mean for you?
Yeah, I think it's really honouring the parts of it that sometimes we've been told to shun now by society. So, and really honouring manhood and we've kind of gone away from a lot of rites of passage in particular. So, you know, if you look at a lot of the ancient traditions and kind of stepping in from that boyhood essentially into manhood and really honoring that process and the shifts that come with that as well.
So if someone who's listening to this podcast and saying, look, this is something that really resonates with me, how could I start? How could I go about by expressing that and connecting it and honouring that masculine within me? What would be some of the practices or the tools or anything that they could do to begin this journey?
I think the first thing is to really create an understanding of who you are and start to ask yourself questions of why you do certain things. Because like I was saying with you know, the rites of passage and things like that, often we've kind of come into manhood and this masculine, but we still have a lot of, I guess, boyhood traits because we don't have those rites of passages that we've moved through. So start with, first off, really with reflection and asking yourself the questions of why, who am I, first off? And then also looking into like, what are the stories and beliefs that I hold around different areas of my life and starting to piece that together. And that starts to, you know, really be able to like look into like, okay, what are the parts of, I guess, my, because there's a phrase that I guess that has been coming up a lot, and that's around toxic masculinity, right? Which I don't believe is a great thing because it's really starting to create shame, I guess, around masculinity. But really starting to look at what parts of the developed masculine do I show right now, and then what parts of the undeveloped masculine. So a really good book that I've been working through at the moment actually is called King, Magician, Warrior, Lover, and it goes into the four different archetypes. So that's also another great place to start.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I want to just discuss on a couple of things you raised there. One is the rites of passage. I love that. For me, that's just really primal and tribal. And I, when you were saying that, I can just visualize, you know, the indigenous tribes where it was so much part of, different stages, I guess, in those rites of passage, excuse me, that, you know, men and women would go through. So for you, can you put into words for us what you see, like in the 21st century, for men to connect with? What would be their rites of passage?
Yeah, so I feel like obviously it's shifted, you know, from back in the ancient days. We live in a very different world now, but like, and what I've been doing recently as well is really, one is like obviously getting into circle with other men, which was, you know, if you look back at our hunter-gatherer days, the men went out together and hunted with each other. And, you know, that was the way they really created bond and connection, and also in a physical aspect. So coming together as men to like connect in all aspects of our health, like physical, mental, emotional, and then also really becoming more connected with nature as well. So if you look at a lot of the rites of passage, they were always done out in nature, right? Like, so they were kind of going away from their tribe to go spend time by themselves. So I think a rite of passage for now is really one, yeah, that connection to community with other men, and then also going out into nature and actually becoming more connected back with nature.
Yeah, that's great. And we should probably also say, you know, when you choose which communities or which groups that you want to join, you know, ensure that they are aligned with what you want to achieve and vibrate at a similar level to you. I know there's a new movement, or I shouldn't say a new movement, but there has been a movement some time for men to come together in this spiritual space and, you know, in relation to their mental health and talk about perhaps things that their fathers or their grandfathers you wouldn't talk about. So being more open in that space. And it can be so easily, you know, because as humans, we also love companionship, you know, of our own kind, also in relation to partners, but with our own kind. So to be drawn to a space, immediately I got, you know, something like a space where, you know, people are yelling and drinking, not that there's anything wrong with that, and, you know, perhaps, which will then take me to my next point that you raise about toxic masculinity, being drawn into a space where it doesn't resonate with what they want to achieve or the journey that they are currently on. It either keeps them in that same space or perhaps makes them feel, you know, worse about themselves.
Yeah, and it's like, that's why it's so important to understand your own value structure first, right? Because asking yourself the question of like, okay, so myself standing in the truest version of myself, what do I actually value? And then finding other men and even women as well who align with your value structures. Doesn't mean you have to have the same opinions and perspectives on everything either, but you align with the same values is important.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that is an important thing and an exercise that we don't, well, many of us perhaps don't really ponder on is what are our values to determine, you know, how that resonates in our life and then attracting those people that we want to spend time with. You know, too often we give that power away and just go with the flow or go with the opinions of others, perhaps even because perhaps at a cost to ourselves, because, you know, we want to open up this space and some of us feel difficulty in actually discussing or sharing when there's issues coming up in our life.
Yeah, and I feel like it comes a lot to do with also the world we live in at the moment is, you know, many of us are in this kind of survival mode all the time. So we're, you know, just focusing on being able to, you know, pay the bills and you know, just get through the workday. And then obviously if you have kids, there's obviously, you know, managing kids as well, and we often don't actually take the time to reflect and actually sit in that, like sit in who are we, who, what do we value, you know, what do we actually want to, you know, achieve, what's the vision for the life that we want to create, because we're just so stuck in that cycle of being in survival all the time.
Yes, yes, so true, so true. I was wondering if you could share with us, so when you have stepped into that space or you're in that space of honouring the masculine, what results have you seen for yourself?
So I think the biggest one for me is actually honouring the full array of human emotions.
Mm.
So, and honouring that, you know, the parts of the masculine that is so incredible, like the problem solver aspect, you know, and also that protective, and like warrior energy, I call it, which can be go both ways. Like you can have the developed and then undeveloped, right? So the developed would be like, you know, that protection of your family and the people that you love and closest to you. And then the undeveloped is kind of more from a place of insecurity that it comes up, you know, of that protection mechanism. So that's kind of like, yeah, what I see with that honoring the masculine is that, and just, yeah, like understanding, you know, I guess, like what are the amazing aspects of the masculine that you want to honor? So yeah, like the problem solving, like I was talking about, you know, the balance. I heard something really when I was actually out with a shaman recently in nature, and it was one of the most profound things that I've actually ever heard in terms of talking about the masculine and feminine, was the feminine is the power and the masculine is actually the balance. And for me, it was just really resonant that, you know, if I look at both, you know, I guess the energies and even the both, you know, men and female, men are needed so much for that balance, because obviously, you know, the feminine can be, there's a lot of emotion there and a lot of creativity, and the men is that real sounding board, or sorry, the masculine is that real sounding board and balance.
Yes, yes. Well, we do say, you know, the masculine, when we talk about energy as such, is the doer. And like you said, the protector. And I loved you said the warrior. I love that, you know, primal warrior man. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I love that. I really love that. And tapping into that, and it's okay to be that. You don't have to be in the bush to do that, even though that's a great ritual to do. You can be that warrior man in your own life. And part of that is coming back to, you know, focusing on what you believe and why you believe it, so which you shared with us earlier. Have you found there may have been times on this journey where you have found this difficult to honour the masculine?
Yeah, well, I guess you always, you know, there's so much societal conditioning in particular around what the masculine looks like, and it's not from a developed version, unfortunately. It's, you know, that it's more from that insecure place, so... you know, I dealt with a lot of insecurities coming up, you know, as a younger, I guess, younger man and younger boy. So yes, the challenge has always been stepping into what's uncomfortable, you know, and I feel like part of honoring the masculine is also honoring the feminine. So honoring both sides and yeah, like allowing yourself to, like I said, kind of experience that full array of emotions and know that that is a masculine aspect as well.
Yeah. Yes. You know, that uncomfortable space, you know, honouring the emotions and the feelings that come up can be difficult for many. You know, we tend to suppress any uncomfortable feelings, that vulnerable side of self. You know, I always say, for me, vulnerability and strength, you were talking about balance before, vulnerability and strength is the balance for me. And also I see when you step into that vulnerable space, you actually come out stronger because you've worked on whatever it was that was revealed to you or gone on that journey to start working towards it.
Yeah, and even linking back to like doing inner child work and seeing, you know, like, so, you know, when I have even times come up now where there's like conflict and I'm like, okay, am I actually, which place am I coming from right now? Am I coming from that kind of wounded child state, that young boy, or am I actually coming from that space of like a man, you know, where it's like, I heard something really great recently where it was like, you know, the boy thinks the whole world revolves around him, whereas like the man understands that he is part of the world and part of a bigger picture.
Wow, that's powerful. That's really powerful. Yes, that's really, really powerful. Yes. So can you share some tools? And I know things change over time, but some tools perhaps when you first started on this journey, some things that helped you.
Yeah, I think the most transformational shift for me was actually being around or getting myself as part of a community that was conducive to empowering me to like kind of get to the way I wanted to be. So really finally, like we've spoken about, a community that is, you know, in alignment with what your values are or who you want to become. So like, for example, for me, when I was first kind of transitioning out of, you know, my very big party kind of phase, I had to get around people who really valued health and creating a vision for their life, because I'd had that vision, but I didn't have the environment to support it. So the biggest number one thing was like getting into an environment with that, because like environment is always going to be stronger than your willpower to shift. And even with a lot of the men's events that I do, when we're sitting in circle, a lot of men are talking about they're coming into these kind of like into the space because they're searching for the same thing. They're searching for an environment that's conducive to helping them grow to like the man that they want to be. So my first thing would definitely be, like finding community that's aligned with like your values and where you want to go. And the second one would be is finding stillness. And yeah, like people often think that, you know, meditation has to be, you know, this kind of sit in a Buddha pose, but it can be anything that creates stillness for you. Because with stillness, once you can create stillness, then you naturally start to reflect and ask yourself questions as well. And you start to create a deeper understanding of who you are. So that's probably the two starting points that I would probably start with.
Yeah, I do love that word support. Going back to what you said, you know, and I know that a lot of people don't feel they have that support in their life, especially, you know, as you mentioned earlier, with the way things are and, you know, working and, you know, putting food on the table and whatever it is for them, and that stress of the current environment and the world that we live in of, you know, wanting to achieve or strive or whatever it is. Sometimes, you know, I know we were talking about in a previous conversation about fathers and how the masculinity of how they grew up as they get older and feel that they need to rely on or lean on their partner or family members can be quite difficult for them. Because they're now moving into a space where they need someone to support them. Of course, supported through their whole life, but in that moment of time where they require more support perhaps, coming from that physical space and not being able to accept that because they feel in a way it diminishes them.
Yeah, well, if you look, I guess, looking on my father's generation, who's like, you know, growing up in or like, you know, being born in the 50s and early 60s, and, you know, they're children of, you know, the war era. And kind of through that era, it's kind of been ingrained of, you know, you were in survival mode, and then that was passed on to, you know, the people or like the baby boomers that were growing up in the 50s and 60s. So particularly for men, it was kind of this passed on generational thing where they were kind of still, even though they weren't in war, they were still in survival mode, and they were told, you know, basically, or even shown, you know, that being strong was actually not showing your emotions and just kind of getting on with it and doing hard work and being the breadwinner. And kind of that was their role essentially. And it really neglected them helping to build more emotional capacity to have support from an emotional space as well. And that's kind of transitioned on, like, so if they haven't built that kind of emotional capacity, then when it comes on to later in their life, and if there's still a lot of, you know, kind of pain and suffering that they haven't dealt with, it becomes a lot harder to lean on people when you get later on in life as well, because you just focus, I guess, even on the masculine as just the strength side of things from a physical aspect and not actually looking at it from an emotional point of view or a mental point of view.
Yes, and we want to say too, as part of this conversation, is that it is okay to ask for help. It doesn't diminish you in any way. It actually makes you stronger because you are saying, I can't do this on my own. I just need some guidance, some support. You know, and I love that joining a community that you can benefit from and can also benefit from you and what you have to give into a community like that. So, Brendan, have you found over time your belief has changed within self?
In terms of my, like, self-belief?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I've always had, like, good self-belief, but there was definitely certain insecurities. But I think now for me, I'm much more in touch with my, whether you want to call it intuition or gut feeling. So I think when you're when you're really in touch with that and understand that, then you know you're supported. So you have much more trust within yourself. And I think that's probably been the biggest shift for me.
Yep. I call that your true self. Yes, absolutely. The intuitive part of self. It's trusting and believing that is guiding you on your true path, isn't it? Whereas we focus so much in the world on the mind and the subconscious mind, and even though the mind and the subconscious part of self is amazing and really helps us, it can also hinder us. So when we can balance the mind with that spirituality aspect of intuition and that gut feeling, I love talking about it as that, the gut feeling, it does again bring to that state of, oh, I love that word, homeostasis.
Yeah,
homeostasis, yeah. Or balance, right?
Yeah.
Because it's using both the tools or both dimensions of it and bringing it together as one.
Yeah, because also we've got to remember that our brain is not there to make us thrive. Our brain's job is there for survival. So whenever we kind of feel uncomfortable, our brain is naturally going to like tell us to not do it because it feels not safe anymore. And the job of our brain is to keep us safe and conserve energy. Mm. So it's starting to also create, you know, understanding with that as well of like, okay, and this is what coming back to values again is like, if it's aligned with my values, but I'm fearful of it, but it's going to make me grow, even though it's fearful, still step into it. If it's in line with my values, if it's not, then obviously you don't do it. But our brain can trick us a lot from staying in that really comfortable space because it feels unsafe.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, that's where, you know, you mentioned inner child earlier. That's where our memories and our patterns and our triggers are stored. So, yes, I always use this as an example. You know, there's some beliefs that are really good that are stored in the mind that benefit us. Like when we were born, we didn't know we had to look both ways before we crossed the road. So that's a good belief to have, you know, ongoing. But there's certain ones that are just stored, whether we take it in peripherally, you know, whether we hear it with our inner ear. So we might not even be aware that we are accumulating these stories and these patterns. You know, sometimes you'll be somewhere and a certain smell will instigate a certain memory, you know, whether it's a holiday or a family member or a friendship, or it can be the other way, something that doesn't serve you. So it's those beliefs, those limiting beliefs or things that hold you back from trusting and believing in yourself, trusting that intuitive part of self to step into your power. And I guess the journey is for all of us is to understand what that means for each one of us.
Yeah, and you made a really good point there at the start in terms of, you know, there's stories and you know, I guess lessons that we get taught growing up that are beneficial. The key thing is to, and this was something else that I heard recently as well, is like we get given all these stories obviously growing up, and our job is to really navigate and decide what's true for us and keep those, and the ones that aren't, to leave them.
Yes, that's the journey.
Yes, that's yes. It.
So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this. I love talking about the masculine and honoring the masculine. It's awesome. Is there anything else you would like to share with us before we conclude the program?
Probably just that you know, starting to do inner reflection can be super challenging, but it's so beneficial. And just reflecting on my own journey and shifting from where I have that, whilst, yeah, it's really challenging, it's just for my own experience, it's really opened up so much joy and just a more, like, I guess, incredible and more in-depth life. So for all the challenges, it's just been so much more rewarding for the way that I get to view my world, because I understand we all have a different view of the world. Yeah, but I would just highly invite people to, or men in particular that listen to this podcast, to just start to do some inner reflection and get a bit deeper understanding of, you know, who they are and why they do things.
Yep, absolutely. And it manifests growth in all our life, whatever that looks like for us. So that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Brendan, for sharing with us today and taking your time. And thank you to our listeners for joining in and listening on to this podcast. And namaste and blessings.